Well, before we begin our prayer, or before we begin our Torah study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Yeshua the Messiah brought good news to Israel, and he taught his disciples to bring good news to the whole world. And this week, the Holy Spirit put on my heart a theme that's going to take us to the end of the year, and I'm calling it 40 Days of Good News. Could you say that with me? 40 Days of Good News. How many of you need good news? How many of you would like good news? How many of you would like a full 40 days of good news? How many of you would like to bring good news to other people during these 40 days? And let me ask you this. After the 40 days, how many of you don't want it to stop? You want to keep having good news. Okay, so it's not just 40 days and then it's over, friends. We need to focus on good news. We're living in difficult times. We should be thankful for everything that is good that happens. When we were praying for Israel and the conflict in Gaza last week, we didn't know what the next steps were going to be. Are you glad that there is a ceasefire now and a truce? Let's give thanks to the Lord for that. We want to see it extend. We want to see it deepen. We want to see something more happen. We pray for Israel, but you know, we need to pray for Egypt. Egypt's in trouble right now. And there are protests and demonstrations, even riots that are going on. Morsi has taken the power of a dictator right now, and there's tremendous conflict in the country. Let's just pray for Egypt right now. Lord, we lift up the nation of Egypt. We lift up the state of Egypt. We lift up to you the Egyptians, and we pray that you would pour out mercy upon them, and that they would submit themselves to the rule of law. We pray that the judges would rise up and be able to do their job. We pray for the legislature. We pray, Lord, even for those that work in the military and in the intelligence services who maintain connections with Israel. We pray, Lord, that they would be able to communicate and decide things together. And we pray that you would protect that country, Lord, from war inside. We pray that you would pour out your mercy upon them in the name of Yeshua. Amen. You know, it's not just Egypt that's in trouble. Syria's in trouble too. The Syrian government is killing Syrians at such a rate that it dwarfs what was happening in Gaza. And it's not just Syria, it's all over that part of the world. In Pakistan, you know, there's conflict between the Sunnis and the Shiites, and they're killing each other. And we have to ask God to do a mighty work. Sometimes we pray for ourselves, and we pray for Israel constantly. That's our mandate, but that's not the limit of our mandate. We have to pray for those countries that are in real trouble as well. And we have to have a heart for them. I tell you what, if God can pour out peace on them, maybe they won't make war with Israel. Did you ever think of that? I can tell that's a new idea for some of you. Because you think it's already settled, they're going to be enemies of Israel. Not everything is always settled. There are times when God wants to do a mighty work that will surprise people. You know, I know there are people who thought with Nebuchadnezzar everything was settled. Or with Cyrus, everything was settled. But God entrusts to us the responsibility to pray, and the more we can see about what he wants to do, the more we will be able to pray. Well, Yeshua said that he came to bring good news. So you know what? He's not the one who's behind the bad news. He's the one who wants to bring good news to us. And I believe that during these 40 days of good news, the Lord wants to fill up your heart with good news. So it's going to have to be filled up with things that come from God rather than things that come from television, from the newspapers, from the radio, from the internet. You're going to need to get things from God, and you will have to take care of what He gives you because it will be easy to lose. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring provision and much more to you. But He doesn't want to stop with you. He wants to work in your life in such a way that you'll be able to pray for other people who need healing and they'll be healed. That you'll be able to pray for other people who are brokenhearted and they will be healed. That you'll be able to pray for people who need jobs or who need finances, who lack provision, and their provision will come in. God wants you to bring good news of Yeshua to people. Amen. And to pray for people, even those people who don't agree with you, even those people who don't seem to be open, if they have needs, pray for them and be bold to lift them up. I want to give you a scripture that we're going to be referring to over and over again, Psalm 103. You can turn in your Bibles to it. This is a psalm that David wrote. How many of you know that David had some problems? He had problems with the kids, is that true? He had problems with women, am I right? He had problems with his brothers. They thought he was nothing. He had problems with the king. He had problems with enemies. And so when he writes a psalm like this, it's because he remembers what God has done during all those times of trouble. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I love this because David is commanding his soul. Do you know sometimes you have to do that? You wake up in the morning, your soul says, blah. And you have to command your soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, we have to remind ourselves, God has benefits. And he wants us to remember the benefits so that we can partake of them. Here are some of the benefits. Verse 3, he forgives all your iniquity. Anybody got some iniquity here? He forgives our iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, and he satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Old folks here. Anyone my age and older? Do you want more youth? We're going to be reading Psalm 103 every week to remind ourselves of the good news, to remind ourselves of the benefits that God has promised to us. This week in Torah, we read about an experience that Jacob had with the Lord, and it starts when Jacob is on a journey back to the land of Abraham's extended family. You can read along with me, Genesis 28, starting in verse 10. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. You see, it was dark. No street lights, no superhighways. He took one of the stones of that place and put it under his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. This is a detail that he never forgot. The night of the rock pillow. And he remembered that, and he told it to his sons. It got passed down all the way to Moses. So when Moses is writing to Rod, this is a detail that Jacob wanted all of us to remember. There was a night I was outdoors sleeping and I used a pillow for a rock and something happened that changed me and I want you to know about it. It says, then Jacob dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Just a detail that may interest you in John chapter 1, verses 50 and 51. Yeshua is speaking to Nathanael, and he makes reference to this Torah portion and this moment. And he says to Nathanael, you're going to see the angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man. And it's as if Yeshua is saying that he is the ladder that connects heaven and earth. So Jacob saw a ladder, and Yeshua is saying it's not just a ladder like you might think. The connection between heaven and earth comes through Yeshua. And you'll notice that Nathanael, if you read that passage, Nathanael calls him the Son of God, but Yeshua says it's the Son of Man. And any of you who are in the class on Boyarim know that these two terms, they link together the Messianic King and the Heavenly King who comes down from earth and takes on human body. And so Yeshua is Son of God and Son of Man. Say that with me. Son of God and Son of Man. Moving to verse 13. Now, above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. God is revealing himself to Jacob. He makes himself visible. How do we know that? Because in this dream, Jacob sees the Lord at a particular place. He's standing above the ladder. And so there's a kind of visibility. This is not the invisible God. This is God making himself visible even in a dream. And the Lord is saying to Jacob who he is. He's saying, I am the Lord. I am Hashem, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. So he's making a connection. The Lord is revealing directly to Jacob about his very nature and identity. Every Jewish person needs to have an encounter with the God of Israel where we can say, I know who the God of Abraham is, who the God of Isaac is, who the God of Jacob is. I've had experiences with him too. Now the promises that the Lord made to Abraham and Isaac, he's saying, are for Jacob as well. Wouldn't that be good news to you if you found out that what God promised Abraham is valid for you too? Okay, now look at the three details of the promise. Number one, the land. This land is your land. It is not their land. You see, Hamas is saying, no, this land is our land. Do you understand that? There are many radicals who are saying Israel has no right to the land. You know why? Because they think it's Abraham, Ishmael, and beyond, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Fundamental difference starts with that understanding of who God has decided to give the land to. Number two, he says, I'm going to give you descendants. Now, that's interesting because Jacob's not even married at this point. Is that correct? Okay, so I'm going to give you descendants. Sometimes God will speak to you a promise that's currently impossible to fulfill because your situation and your condition won't allow for it. Jacob is going to get descendants, but the good news is they'll come after he gets married. He is going to get married, and then he's going to have children, and he's going to have grandchildren, and God is speaking to him a promise. You're going to have a family. And then the third aspect, this may be the most unbelievable one. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring, or all peoples on earth will bless themselves through you and your offspring. That was a promise God made to Abraham. He said that all the families on the earth would bless themselves through Abraham. They would learn to bless him. And do you know that the sons of Ishmael bless Abraham? Did you know that? Now, they're not always blessing the sons of Isaac. I look for the day when they do that. Now, why should I expect that? Because some of you are saying, Rabbi, you are just so naive. Here's the reason. It says all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What's the will of God according to what he said to Jacob? That all the peoples on the earth would learn to bless the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Say that with me, and Jacob. Egyptians are going to bless themselves through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Syrians, Lebanese, Afghans, Iraqis, Iranians. Do you understand this? This is God's plan. Now, you may focus yourself on other prophetic scriptures. I'm going to focus on this one. You know why? Because not enough people are focusing on this. A lot of people are focusing on the bad news. I'm focusing on the good news. This is just as unbelievable, just as hard to believe, and yet God says it's true. It would have been hard for Jacob to believe this, because what it meant is Esau and his descendants would actually be thankful for Jacob. That can happen. Genesis, I'm not getting a lot of feedback from you guys. I'm not sure you agree. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe you just, you know, have another preference. Maybe you would prefer that all the nations just hate the Jews. No? Okay, well, smile then when you hear these things and act like this is good. Don't be neutral. Don't be indifferent. Align yourself with what God has revealed his will to be. I'm just glad we don't have cameras right now. God said this to Jacob. He promised this. He promised the same to Abraham. And if you join yourself to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the sons and daughters of Israel through Messiah or through your own bloodlines, you should know what you've joined yourself to. It is not necessary to believe that everybody is going to hate the Jews. Now, there are plenty of anti-Semites. And they seem to have, they seem to be fertile. You know, they reproduce. They make new ones. But God has a way of overturning even hatred by the power of his word. Genesis 28, verse 15. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I am with you. Anochi imach. Say that with me. Anochi imach. I'm with you. And he says, and I will watch over you. Ushmarticha is the same root of Vayishmarecha, where I will watch over you, that we say from the Aaronic benediction. It means I'm going to protect you. And it also means I'll be your watchman, I'll be your night guard, I'll stand watch for you. The Lord doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. He stays up all night, if you will. He is Hashomer Yisrael, the watchman of Israel. He's watching out for Israel. And there will be some times that you will find yourself awake in the middle of the night and you'll have Israel on your heart. And you know why? The Lord's up at night. And he is doing battle on behalf of Israel. And he looks for people who he can wake up to join him in the battle. And then he says to Jacob, I'll bring you back to this land. That's a promise for all Jewish people. The Lord says, I will bring you back. And I will not leave you. Now, in this important moment, Jacob discovers that God is with him. He could not have taken that for granted. He was a sneaky guy. He had done some things that he had questions about. He had conflict. And yet God is saying, I'm with you. And I think that's a message that the Lord wants to get into your heart today. You're not alone. Can you say, I am not alone? God is not far away from you. He's not detached from you. He's not distant. And he is not indifferent to you. He's close by. That's one of the reasons why this is in the scripture, so that we'll know how God thinks of us. He's close by. And he's coming to us. He's reaching out to us, and he's loving us despite our flaws. So you don't have to hide your flaws from God. He sees them. Amen. You can't fake them out. You know, you can act religious, but you can't trick him. You cannot fool him. You may be able to fool your mother, but you can't fool God. You may be able to speak religious terminology and jargon, but God won't buy it. He'll know what's in your heart. He'll know who you really are. And here's the good news. Even when he knows your flaws, he'll draw close to you in order to pull you out of the stuff that wants to keep you from him. The good news that Yeshua speaks about, the good news that the prophets of Israel speak about, sometimes comes to us at our worst times or when we are in our worst ways. Sometimes the good news comes during the best of times. That's also good. But some people need to know that God has good news for you even when you've gotten yourself in trouble. Even when you don't know where to go, even when you're hiding, even when you're escaping, God knows who you are and he knows how to find you. You see, Jacob wasn't looking for the Lord. The Lord was looking for Jacob. Jacob wasn't engaged in great prayer and worship. What was Jacob's physical activity at this moment? He's sleeping, right? Yeah. Comfortable? Not really. If you've ever used a stone for a pillow, or you've had a lumpy pillow or a lumpy bed, you know it's not all that comfortable to be in the condition that he was in. And yet God came to him. You know, the scripture says, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. That's a guarantee. But what about those times when you're not seeking the Lord? Sometimes he'll just come to you anyway. And he is so intent on drawing close to you, he'll find you in order to bring you with him where he wants to go. Now, this is a powerful message for the Jewish people for all times, all periods. The God of Israel comes down, the God of Israel comes near, and the God of Israel comes close, and he's still coming close to his people. Now, 2,000 years ago, God came down again. And this time when he came down, he put on a human body so that we could see him, so that we could watch him at work. And he took on a name, Yeshua. Say that name with me, Yeshua. It means salvation of God. It means God of salvation. It means God's salvation. And Yeshua showed us what the love of God is really like. He showed us what the faithfulness of God is really like, and the mercy and the compassion and the truth and the righteousness and the holiness. If you haven't read the Bible very much, you'll be confronted sometimes with surprises. God does things you would not have expected him to do. And if you have read it a lot, you need to read it with an open mind again to surprise yourself. Sometimes we just see the same old stuff. You know what? Because we're not looking carefully. We're not reading the scriptures slowly enough, and we're just rushing through. We need to read so carefully and so slowly that God can show us things we hadn't noticed before. Now, Yeshua came to be a perfect example for us. Can you say perfect example? Perfect example. Yeshua is a perfect example. And he is a permanent example for us. Say that with me. He's a permanent example. Yeshua is a perfect and permanent example. But he goes a step further than that. Not only does Yeshua show us the way, he goes one step further. This is very important because I've met many Jewish people who say, well, I believe he was a good teacher. And you can ask people like that, well, why do you believe he was a good teacher? And they'll tell you good things he taught. And some will even go so far as to say, I believe Yeshua was in fact a prophet of God. And if you ask them why, they'll tell you why. That he was not afraid to speak the word of God to the powers of Israel that were going astray or had become corrupt and so forth, that he spoke in a prophetic way. But Yeshua not only shows us the way, he makes the way. He makes a way so that every person can come close to God. It's one thing to show the way, it's another thing to make a way. And Yeshua makes a way for you. And he'll make a way for you and your family, for your friends, for your spouse, for your children, your grandchildren, your parents. He will make a way. How do I know that? How can I say that so confidently? Because God so loved the world that he gave his son. So that whomever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Whomever, right? Whomever. See if there's a whomever in your row. Just look and see. Are there any whomevers? I see a bunch of whomevers here. How many of you were so good that God said, you know what? You don't need any atonement. You're just perfect already. Okay, some people didn't eat too much for Thanksgiving. That's true. But none of us can say, I was that good. Every one of us has fallen short. Every one of us continues to fall short. Every one of us needs an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the truth. And Yeshua makes the way so that everyone can come close to God. Every one of us can leave the empty life of sin and sorrow and take a new place in God's family. That's good news. The place where God is our Father. And where all of our life takes on a new meaning because you've made the Lord your God. In life, we wear out. Is that true? We just wear out and we break down sometimes. It's not just our cars that break down. We break down. And we use ourselves up. Am I telling you the truth? We use ourselves up. And God comes to us to renew us. He comes to us to refresh us, to make us new creations in Messiah. Paul encouraged the believers in Rome to be amazed with what God does. Listen to this, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Say that with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Say that too. Romans 8:31. Okay, I want you to just speak this to a person sitting nearby. You may have to look backwards or forward or cross the row or aisle, and just say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Isaiah chapter 40 and 41 keeps speaking to those who find themselves needing new power, new strength. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. I think you're going to need some of these scriptures, so we're just going to repeat them together. Isaiah 41, or 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's good. Okay, Isaiah 41, verse 10. We'll try it again. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41, 10. Oh, you're doing good. Okay, let's go on. Isaiah 41, 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Isaiah 41, Verse 13. That was good, isn't it? It's good. You make yourself strong when you get these scriptures in your heart. When you start speaking them, it gives you strength. How many of you feel a little stronger now than you did a few minutes ago? You start speaking the word of God, you'll get stronger. Why do I speak that God is going to work in Afghanistan one day, in Iraq one day? Because the word of God tells me that he wants to bring the nations into a right relationship with the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There'll be war over it, believe me. Those that side with Israel will have to stand with Israel through thick and thin. But I say these things because God puts the power in me to say them because he says them. And just like you speaking these words makes you strong, whenever you speak the will of God, you become stronger. Okay, here's the next one. This was spoken to Jacob. Has a affectionate little phrase in there. Isaiah 41, verse 14. Do not be afraid. O worm Jacob. O little Israel. For I myself will help you. Declares the Lord. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 41, verse 14. Sometimes we feel like worms, don't we? So we're in good company. Listen, even when Hamas attacks, the Lord says, I will help you. He promises to preserve Israel, to save Israel. Now let's go back to Genesis 28. God makes these promises to Jacob. He says, I'm with you. I won't leave you. I'll bring you back. And Jacob's first response is to be amazed. I love this. It's Genesis 28, verses 16 and 17. And he says, for sure the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And then Jacob was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You know, anywhere that you encounter God becomes the house of God, and it becomes the gate of heaven, because that's where God opens up to you the revelation of himself. So God comes to Jacob. He takes the initiative. Jacob was minding his own business, trying to sleep, and God comes and visits him in a dream. And let me tell you that the people who we read about in the Bible, they understood that there were normal dreams and there were spiritual dreams. There were bad dreams you could have because of what you ate, and they weren't necessarily spiritual. And there are dreams where you're just processing your own thoughts. And they could distinguish between those kinds of dreams, just like you should be able to. There are times when God will give you a spiritual dream and he wants to use it for a purpose. You have to be able to distinguish. So we can be like Jacob, where we're minding our own business and we're doing what we do, and God finds us. How many of us can honestly say that we're the ones who found God versus he found us? How many of you feel like God took the initiative to look for you? I can say he took the initiative to look for me. You see, this that God did with Jacob, it describes a pattern of God's mercy where he goes looking for people. They're not necessarily worthy, but they're chosen. They're not necessarily good, but he wants to make them more like himself. And we're just doing what we do, and we've got our own thoughts about God. We may believe God exists, that's one thing, but that's not enough. Yeshua said, well, that puts you in the intellectual company of demons, because demons know God exists. Knowing that he exists is not enough. At one point, the scriptures say, you have to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He may have found you, but you got to then start responding to him. And so the amazement's great. But it's absolutely true. We could be off doing what we're doing, and then we find out that God is real and that God is present. You would be surprised how many people have had a supernatural answer to prayer. I think most people have. Most people don't know what to do with it. And after they get that answer to prayer, sometimes they want to explain it away. But it is not uncommon. If you want to have good conversation with people, ask them if they ever prayed when they were really in trouble and if God answered them. You'll be surprised how many people can tell you the exact details. I was talking to some elderly Russians about this not a few years ago in my office when we were at Bay Meadows, and I just asked them the question, were you ever in such trouble that you prayed to God and that God answered you? Tell me about that. And one of them was in the Russian army. And they were facing almost certain death. The enemy was just pounding them. And every one of the soldiers thought for sure this would be their last moments. And you know what they did? Now, this is in Soviet days when it's the official policy not to believe in God. You know what they did? They all stopped and they prayed. And they prayed to God. They didn't pray, you know, to Sovieticus somewhere. They prayed to God. And they asked God to save them. And so I said, so what did he do? And the answer was, God saved us. He heard our prayers, and not one person at that moment was lost in the battle. And I said, so what did you do after that? He said, actually, I've never talked to anyone about it. This is the first time I've ever told anyone. And he said, in fact, you're the first person who's ever asked me about something like this. You know what that told me? That there's lots of opportunity to talk to people if you'll just ask them good questions. And if you understand from human experience that most people get into trouble, and most people in trouble get desperate enough to pray. And God, in his humility, is kind enough to answer desperate people when they're in trouble. Now, here's the rub. Many people who get into trouble get an answer to prayer and then they stop. And that's your opportunity, is to take them the next step and to help them move forward. Well, today I think some of you have been going along on your own, doing what you do, maybe not even mindful of the presence or the reality of God. And it's time to open up your heart and your mind and say, I'm going to follow the Lord. God wants to do great things for you. Now let's look at what Jacob did next, because the first part is amazement. And some people are content just to be amazed. Oh, God is so amazing. And then they live their normal lives. How would you say it? 24-6. Do you know what I mean by that? Does that make sense, 24-6? It means that almost every day they're just doing their own thing. And then once a week, they pause to give God a little bit of time, some attention. Maybe they got in trouble two nights before, drank too much, did some stuff they regret. And so they want to come, you know, make a confession, get clean so they can feel better the next day and then get over their guilt so that they can go and get into trouble again. That's a 24-6 lifestyle. And if you only are content with amazement, you could fall into that. Jacob goes further. He has a second response, which is the response of commitment. And this is in verse 20. That we see it. Genesis 28, verse 20, then Jacob made a promise. And he said, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So now Jacob is saying, God, you're promising to be faithful. And I can say this, as you are faithful, I'll be faithful too. Now, whenever you align yourself with the faithfulness of God, you know what? You're doing well. Because God will always be faithful even when you're not. And if you say, God, because you're faithful, I'm going to do my best to follow you, you'll do fine. Jacob was saying, I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to give my tithes to him. I'm not going to keep them. I'm not going to spend them on something else. I'm not going to give them on behalf of some other god. I'm going to give my tithes, my tenths, to the Lord. Jacob says that. It's born of faith. He understands something. Lord, everything you give me actually is a gift from you. And I'm going to honor you every time you give me increase by taking that portion and saying, this is for the Lord. Well, this was a good night for Jacob. It was a turning point for him. It helped him understand that God wanted to make a way for him to live with the Lord and to have a future with the Lord and to carry on what had begun with his grandfather and his father and to go forward beyond that. It was a day of good news, a time of good news in the midst of some trouble. Now, it was on a Saturday morning in a synagogue that Yeshua read a Haftorah portion from Isaiah 61. And let me read to you what he read from Isaiah 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. Yeshua was at a Torah service. There was a traditional Jewish Saturday synagogue service that he was attending. It included prayers. It included singing psalms. It included reading from the scriptures, from the Torah. It included reading from the prophets, just like we do. And he read this portion, and then he said, it's being fulfilled right now. I'm bringing this into fullness. In other words, he's saying that what Isaiah was talking about now comes into reality because he is the one upon whom the Spirit of God is resting. And he is the one who's anointed, and he is the one who brings good news. And he describes this good news. Look at the good news. It's good news to the poor, good news to those in need. Think about your needs today. What are they, and what's the needs of your loved ones? Sometimes maybe you get focused only on your own needs. You need to be focused on other people's needs too and pray for them. And you can believe God, according to Isaiah 58, that as you spend yourself on behalf of others, that God will break forth for you. Yeshua read these words and he was declaring, I'm the one who brings this good news to you. And he was saying, I'm the one who will bind up the brokenhearted. So think about this as we begin these 40 days of good news. What in your heart needs healing? Because he's ready to heal your heart. For some of you, it may come on day one, and for others on day 40. But if you present your broken heart to him, he wants to heal your broken heart. He says he came to proclaim freedom to those in captivity. So ask yourself this, what freedom do you need? What freedom do you want? What is keeping you captive? What's holding you in bondage? He says he'll release you from darkness. You know, today is a perfect day to turn to the Lord. Maybe somebody brought you here today. Maybe you didn't even come because you wanted to. Maybe they forced you to come. Maybe you're listening on podcast and you're listening to this. You don't even know why you started listening, but you've gotten this far. And this is a day that is good to turn to God. This is a day where you can put aside double-mindedness and become like Jacob, single-minded in making a commitment. It's time to come out of darkness, and darkness will let go of you when you come to the Lord. When the Lord is saying, I'm going to bring you out of darkness, all you have to do is reach out to him, and he'll start taking you out of the darkness. He says it's the year of God's favor. You know what that tells me? Don't stay in a time of sorrow, and don't stay in last year's season. Just because last year or last season was tough doesn't mean this season is going to be the same way. Don't try to figure everything out. Sometimes God has a better plan than you do. Sometimes God has good news for you when you've already figured out what's going to go wrong. This is a time of good news for you. And he says one more thing. I love these particular words. He says in verse 3, Isaiah 61, verse 3, that he has come to provide for those who grieve in Zion. And that's separate from comforting those who mourn, to provide for those who grieve. Now, anyone who's been out of work for a long time, you know that there's grieving that goes on with that. Isn't that true? Anyone who loses their house or has a relationship that breaks up, you know that there is grieving that comes with that. Am I right? Yes. And the Lord says, I'm going to provide for you. If you've been living in insufficiency, there's a certain grief. You may make yourself content, but there's certain grief that you will experience when you don't have enough. If you've suffered loss or you've barely held on, or you haven't been able to take hold of comfort and let comfort take hold of you, God is saying, I want to provide for you. I want to provide for you. I want to reach into that empty place and give you something you can't give yourself. And I want to bring you out of your grief and out of your insufficiency and out of your loss. It's not that you didn't have loss. It's you don't have to live with it all the time. It's not that you didn't have suffering. It's you don't have to live with that suffering forever. You can wake up and get up and move ahead. Yeshua spoke these words from the prophet Isaiah on a Saturday. How do I know it was a Saturday? Because the scripture says that it was on the day of Shabbat. That's easy, isn't it? It was not Tuesday. If some of you were wondering, it wasn't Thursday, it was the day of Shabbat, and he was in a synagogue, and so that helps me figure things out. Does it help you figure out what's going on? He was in a synagogue. You know what that means? Jewish things are happening. Why are they reading from Isaiah? I don't know. Well, we do that kind of thing in a synagogue. What language do you think he was reading? King James. I don't think so. He was reading from the Hebrew scriptures. And you know there were people who spoke Hebrew there. How do you know that? Because it doesn't say he had to translate it. That's my thinking. So maybe they spoke Greek, maybe they spoke Aramaic. Maybe they spoke this and that, but they also understood the Hebrew. And so they're listening and they're hearing the scriptures and they're hearing it. And Yeshua makes a comment and he says, this is being fulfilled. And he's saying, there's good news for you. You and I need to understand something, that he wants us to hear such words today, that there's good news. My hope for you is I want to build you up during these 40 days from the Word of God. I want to build up your faith. I want to build up your strength, the strength that God gives, not just human strength, not your enthusiasm, not your amazement, but I want to build up your commitment. It'll be accompanied with amazement. But amazement without commitment turns out to be nothing. And commitment without amazement usually is impossible. You usually get the amazement too. You know why? When you commit yourself to walking with God, he'll amaze you. He will do more than you ask or imagine. And every time he does more than you imagine, you know what? You should be amazed. That's what you should do. Every time God blesses you beyond what you thought was going to happen, you should give thanks. You should be glad. You should rejoice. You can do that. You can train yourself. I want to encourage you during these weeks to build you up. You know why? God has good news for you. He has good news for you, and he wants to use you to bring good news to other people. He wants to give you opportunity to share the good news of Yeshua with other Jewish people, with friends, with family, with neighbors. We're coming towards Christmas. Did you know that? Christmas is a great opportunity to talk to Jewish people about the Lord. A lot of Jewish people like Christmas. You might be surprised. You know why? I was exercising a couple of years ago with a Jewish doctor. He said, oh, I love Christmas. And he's saying this knowing I'm a messianic rabbi and he's not. And he's not a believer of any kind. He's a secular Jew of some sort. He said, I love Christmas. I love the decorations. But then he said, you know what I really love about it? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's like the only time of the year when everyone tries to be nice to each other. And he was a cranky doctor, not known for his niceness. Hanukkah's coming. There are a lot of great opportunities, and it's not just proclamation. It's ministering to people, serving people, bringing good news to people. Bring them food. Bring them something to drink. Visit them if they're sick. Bring them some clothes if they're lacking. Invite them into your home if they don't have a place of their own. Show some kindness to them. And you know what? As you do this, the power of God will be released into your life too, not just into theirs. They'll thank God for you, but they'll also begin to thank God themselves for his goodness. And you'll be able to thank the Lord too. You've got loved ones who need a breakthrough. I know it. Many of you need a breakthrough yourself. And God wants to give that to you. And we're going to take 40 days focusing on good news, reminding ourselves that Yeshua still heals. He still forgives. He still saves. He delivers. He brings freedom. He brings people out of darkness into the kingdom of God. Are you ready for it? Let's be strong in these days. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the good news of your son, Yeshua. I thank you that he rose from the dead. I thank you that he paid for my sins and all of our sins. I thank you for the forgiveness that you bring us. And I thank you for those who in their hearts right now are saying yes to you, who are turning to you. I thank you for the opportunities that we have to bring good news to people. Use us, Lord. Lord, we have our own needs, but we're not going to wait until all those needs are met before we'll serve others and before we'll tell others. We're ready to tell others now. And so I pray that today you would give me opportunity. I pray for us as a congregation that we would use these 40 days to enjoy your good news and to tell others, to bring many into your kingdom. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord show his mercy, his grace, and his favor to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace, his shalom, in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.